Up next, Vernon Mahubald back with us. We're going to talk with a real palm reader about what to expect in the future when we take calls with you next hour, of course. You can. He's going to try to read your palm, or you're going to read your own to him and talk a little bit about you, plus questions for him when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Vernon Mahubald back with us, author, of course, and expert on palm reading. He is the founder and director of the Palmistry Institute in Los Angeles. In 1979, he began formal training in Vedic. That's Eastern cosmology, which took him to India, and many times he was there. He combines both Eastern and Western astrological disciplines in his practice. He continues new research all the time, particularly within the field of dermatologic graphics. What the heck is that? That's fingerprint biometrics, isn't it, Vernon?
That is dermatoglyphics.
Dermatoglyphics.
Dermatoglyphics, skin and glyphics, symbol. The symbols on our skin. Fingerprints.
You know, Vernon, with 7.8 billion people on this planet, and they say that no two fingerprints are alike, how do they know that?
Well, I think palmists can also help in that. It is true. I mean, we have 10 fingerprints on our 10 fingers. And even with those, they're all completely different on everybody's hand. There isn't a single fingerprint that's the same as another. There are six major, let's say, fingerprints, but there's hundreds and hundreds of different subcategories. So they individualize us. And the interesting thing is that the New Age, the mind-body-spirit world, they always explain how we are all one, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
We're part and parcel of the divine. But more importantly, we are individualists. We're individuals. So we're simultaneously one and different. We're one in that we are part and parcel of God. We're different in that God made us individuals. So these fingerprints individualize us. So on a scientific level, they're sometimes called the biometrics of the hand. These dermatoglyphics, George, are actually biometrics. And even health practitioners, naturopathic health practitioners, can look at different health aspects from the fingerprints.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the left hand and the right hand are totally different from each other in terms of fingerprints and palm prints?
They are completely different from each other. And the reason is the left hand deals with our subconsciousness, and the right hand deals with our consciousness. So the right hand deals with, let's say, how you deal with the world, how you navigate the world, how you approach the world, and how you get things done in the world. The left hand deals with who you are as an individual soul. In other words, I will look to a person's left hand to see how they are when they're just by themselves. That's the true record of our emotions and our feelings and our individuality. And so in a technical way, the left hand is ruled by the right brain, and the right hand is ruled by the left brain. So one is a conscious, and one is the subconsciousness, and they're completely different, George.
Tell us a little bit about the method you use for some of the predictions and trends that you work on using fingerprints and palms.
Well, on a social level, if you keep seeing things repeated within people's hands over and over, you're going to be able to make predictions about what's happening in the social world. So, for instance, if you see people who are in the tech industry and they're doing better and better, you can tell that the tech industry is doing well. If you see, let's say, repeated patterns of like health trends, good and bad, you can tell what diseases are out there, what diseases are being cured, that type of thing. So if a palmist can read 2-3 hands a day, they're going to be able to come up with a bunch of research socially on what's going on out there.
Well, when you look at like 2021, and we're going to get into that in a moment. Whose palm do you use to determine what kind of year we're going to have? The individual, or do you do something blanketly?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. In other words, you have to, I can only read one hand at a time, but if I was to continually see the same situation happening, for instance, maybe 6-7 months before, let's say, this lockdown hit, I was seeing something that I thought was a power grid going down or the electrical power going down. I didn't know what it was. It didn't seem to me like a disease. I didn't see any clue to that. It just seemed everything would be shut down. I did see an economic squeeze. So I read it as something where people would be actually in lockdown. So I didn't really know that it would be a disease, but I kept seeing this over and over. In other words, after February, March of that year of 2020, I just saw that people would be suffering, and also they would feel also imprisoned in a sense. So psychologically, so like I say, George, I just thought people were going to stay at home,
right?
Because they wouldn't have any power. So that's an idea of how I saw these repeated things. Every time I looked at somebody's hand, I said, oh, my God, their business is not going to do very well, and they're going to be sad, and they're going to be gloomy, and what's going on? There's no movement here. I didn't see much activity. That's how I read it.
How in the world can a person's hand that he had or she had from the moment of birth determine their outcome and future?
Well, you know, that's interesting, Jerry, because the Navajo Indians have a legend that they say that at about 7 months, God blows his breath on the child in the womb on the hand, and it becomes the fingerprints. And so these fingerprints are actually a record of our previous life talents and abilities. So these fingerprints never change. Even if you try to alter it, it'll grow back again. It may take a while.
To its original state.
Yeah. In other words, I saw a movie a long time ago. I don't know if it's actually true, but I saw a criminal. He actually cut off his fingerprints and turned them around, and still they grew back again.
Or they try to use acid to burn them off
exactly.
or something.
Exactly. But, you know, they'll grow back again because the soul is the one that is sending the signals to our hand, and it will grow these finger patterns back into play. So, the entire life purpose, George, of a person is written on a person's hand when they're 7 months in the womb. When a child is like, let's say, a few months old, maybe even a year, it's very hard to look at their hands because, you know, they don't keep them open very long. but definitely, the entire destiny of the human being is on that little boy or girl's hand.
Interesting.
As soon as they're born, even at 7 months in the womb, it's all there. Their talents, what they did in their previous life, their destiny, the challenges that they'll have, it's all there in miniature. It's like an astrological chart, George, that's in right on the hand.
What about your footprints? You have, you know, footprints that look like palm prints on the bottom of your feet.
Yes, we have fingerprints on our feet, and we also have a few signs and symbols, but they mainly have to do with health. So I've been trained in the system that pretty much anything you can see on the feet in the world of health can be seen on the hands. But the interesting thing is, great personalities like saints and sages, yogis, yoginis, very, very elevated saintly people have very interesting signs and symbols on their feet also along with their hands. They have the symbols of a trident or different auspicious symbols. They're also there on the feet.
We're with Vernon Mahubble, his website, palmistryinstitute.com. Of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He's got a couple books out, including The Palmistry Cards and Talked to the Hand as well. How did you get involved in this, Vernon?
When I was 17 years old, in high school, I saw a book on palmistry. And pretty much it hooked me. I started reading this book, and I started just to look at my friends and, let me see your hand, let me see your hand. And they all thought I was nuts. What are you doing, you know? Huh. But after I left high school, maybe just a few years after that, I actually met someone who became my palmistry mentor, and he taught me everything. And I came to it, in a sense, I have to say, literally as a skeptic. I wasn't skeptical of it, but I came to it as a skeptic, and I used to watch my mentor. His name was Patrick. I used to watch him read hands on a table on St. Mark Street in Lower Manhattan. And I watched him give readings to people, and I was fascinated. I mean, he asked me to sit next to him and watch him. And I must have watched him for hundreds of hours giving readings. And I was just absolutely amazed and flummoxed about how accurate the information he was giving in just maybe 10, 15 minutes. And people would even say, oh, my God, Patrick, you're telling me more than my psychologist has told me in 20 years, or you're telling me more about my career than the career consultant at the local college. And I was just astounded. So he became my teacher for 5 years, and I learned the Western Astrological System. And then I went to India many times to learn what they call the Vedic system, which is also a great system. It's a more spiritual system. It's a more accurate system in regards to timing. But the Western and the Vedic system, if combined, they work beautifully together. And ultimately, what is palmistry? It's just like looking at an astrological chart, except it's on your hand. Whatever an astrologer can see, we can also see. But I like palmistry better. I'm a little biased because there's an element of intuition that is built in to reading a hand. And so you can see right. planetary energies, but then at the same time you can read around the planet, so to speak, because the hand radiates a tremendous amount of psychic ability, and it's because it's coming directly from the soul. So you're reading the soul's energies. It's a very intimate aspect of astrology.
Let me ask you an after-the-effect question, and that is, had you been able to read a number of people who were in the World Trade Center prior to 9/11/2001, maybe 100 people, if you read their palms, would you?
No question.
Would you have seen something?
Yeah, you would see that. You would see that unfortunate thing happening, and of course, any palmist would say, "Hey, this is kind of in your destiny. Don't be anywhere around there." But yes, you would absolutely 100% see that.
Now, what would you see physically on the palm to give you that kind of understanding or reading?
Well, depending on the planetary aspects, you would, let's say, see a line ending or a particular inauspicious sign, and it would really even tell you the date almost. In other words, within just a few days. So yes, you can actually see. And this is part of a palmistry also, to help people when they are coming into contact with a very difficult situation, whatever that might be, health, career, relationship changing, location stuff, to forewarn a person. As they say, forewarned is forearmed. So that's part of the duty of a palmist, to say, hey, you're not in the right career. You're not with the right person. You're living not in a good place. And our job is to realign people so they're doing the work that they're born to do, so that they'll be successful. And I can definitely say 95% of the people that visit me are not really doing the work that they're meant to do. In other words, the work that they're born to do. And that's why they come to people like me. because they're not fulfilled. So, you know, George, a lot of times people say, well, you know, we're talking about the whole 9/11 thing. People say, well, what do you say, or do you say if you see something bad in somebody's hand? What do you say? Will you tell them? And I'll say that actually the things that I see bad in a person's hand, quote unquote, is that they're in the wrong job. They're wasting their time doing the wrong line of work.
And you lay it out there for them. You tell them. I know you do.
It's my job. I have to. My happiness is to be able to tell people this is what will make you a strong person. This will rise you above your challenges. This will help you to slay your dragons. You know, most people go to psychologists or therapists for years, and they still don't know what's going on with them. Whereas with the hand, it's a metaphysical tool. It goes right down into the heart. The heart is relaying this information directly into the agency of the hand. And within 15, 20 minutes, we can tell a person, hey, you're meant to be an architect. Go to architectural school. You're not meant to live in Miami Beach. You're supposed to live in Toledo, Ohio, or something like that. That's our job, to make people great, to make people, as I think Aristotle once said, consciousness of our powers increases them. So the job of the palmist is to let a person know what are their true talents, what are they here to do, what are their talents, what will make them not only materially happy, but spiritually happy. And that's a big part of palmistry also, to let a person know your true identity is a spiritual identity. And that spiritual identity has a distinct individuality that's completely different than the billions and billions of other souls on this planet. We're one in spiritual substance, but we're different in that we have our own distinct purpose. And that's the higher principle of palmistry, to really help a person to understand what is their spiritual calling, what is their emotional and spiritual and metaphysical calling. So once we know that, we can go beyond all the problems of this material world. They just become ephemeral, really. I mean, we have to deal with all the difficulties and struggles in this material world, but we'll happily go past them if we know our spiritual direction.
Do people ever take a Xerox copy of their hand and then send it in to you?
I do that a lot.
That works?
I ask people to put their hands on a Xerox, send it to me, because the Xerox copies, and they have to mail them to me, because if they're put on the Internet, it erases my intuition, if you will.
Yeah.
But, yes, the Xerox copies, they hold this intuitive aspects, and then I may ask a person for a photo or two of their hands. They could just text it to me or something. And I'm armed with both. I'm armed with the photo of the hand, which gives me the astrological, the hard scientific aspects of the astrology, and then also I have the photocopy which gives me the intuitive aspects. So that's the beauty of palmistry. In other words, but if I read a person's hand in person, then it's all there.
It's different. Vernon, hang with us. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and talk about trends and what you see for 2021 and beyond. In our final hour of the program next hour, we're going to take your calls. We're going to do two things. One, just a general question for Vernon that you might want to ask him about anything. And two, he's going to tell you how to read your palm back to him so he can tell you a little bit about you. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Vernon Mahubble back with us as we are talking about palm reading. And a little bit later on this hour, we'll tell him what he expects from you when you make your phone call next hour. Vernon, let's look at simply this year. How's it look, and what do you use in order to gauge that?
Well, one of the most important things, and it's actually kind of a simple astrological aspect, and I have been seeing that in people's hands through 2020, the major ruling planet was Saturn. Now, if you ask any astrologer, what does Saturn mean? They will tell you key words of restriction, limitation, If you see Saturn really, really badly placed in someone's hand, they may even go to prison or jail or something, or just be stuck on an island somewhere, like Gilligan's Island or something. But Saturn represents, at its highest, Saturn represents the teacher. It's called the teacher because it's the teacher of hard knocks. You learn from struggles and obstacles and oppositions. So exactly what we were going through in 2020 was the influence of Saturn. And Saturn represents extreme limitation and lockdown. Now, in November of last year, and we will be in this situation until about October of this year, 2021, Mercury is the most important and the most powerful ruling planetary sphere right now. Mercury's energy is completely the opposite, and this is what I'm seeing in people's hand. In other words, the Mercurian aspect that's radiating from the cosmos is going into people's lives. It's affecting everybody. Now, there are two main principles of Mercury. One, of course, is communication. We've all heard of the Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to concentrate on the other aspect of Mercury, which is freedom. The planet of Mercury does not have a sex. It's kind of like a young spirit. So what is it like? It likes freedom. It likes freedom of mind, and it likes freedom of thought and action. So people are going to want freedom this year. People are, I'm not saying they're going to just, you know, become rebellious, and I'm not talking about riots and all that kind of thing. I'm just saying people want their freedom now, whatever that means, opening their businesses, going out to the park, going to the beach, meeting with people. People are going to want their freedom, freedom of mind and freedom of action. Another aspect of Mercury, which I see in people's hands, is also the aspect of, as I said before, George, it's a young spirit. So it likes to enjoy. It likes to explore. It's an experiential planet. In other words, it learns by doing things and going places. So we're going to see people doing things and going places physically and mentally. We're not going to be able to be kept down. So the other aspect of Mercury, of course, the big one is communication. So we're going to see more people communicating. And, of course, they say that business means communication. So the third aspect of Mercury is business. And I do see businesses opening up. So you can't. So in other words, communication, freedom, spending money, these are Mercurian aspects. And I see this, again, as I said, radiating in everybody's hand I see. So 2021 will be kind of an opening up of the door, of just trying to go out and do stuff, starting one's business, going out, exploring, experiencing life.
Trying to live again, huh?
Trying to live again. Mercury is the polar opposite of Saturn. Saturn is the person. Saturn is the old man, the dour person, the person that doesn't like to enjoy, does not like to socialize, likes to stay home, very private, very sober, very serious person. Mercury is completely the opposite. Mercury is the planet of enjoying, experiencing life, having fun. It's a young spirit. It doesn't really even have a sex. So that means that it's a very neutral planet. It all across the board, people want to communicate and want to explore themselves and the outer world. So it couldn't be a more different planetary aspect. It's the polar opposite of Saturn.
You say that there's a point on the hand that activates strong psychic intuition. Where is that point, and then what do you do with it? Do you jab it, or how do you kick it? How do you kick it into high gear?
I love that. Okay, there. Let's say you're going through a period of indecision, or confusion, or uncertainty, and you just need a quick answer. One of the most powerful things you can do is to take your right hand and hold your left thumb. Just hold your left thumb. You don't have to rub it. You don't have to give it a massage. You just have to hold it. If you're going through a period of, I don't know what to do. Should I do this first or should I do that? Should I go out with this girl or should I go out with that girl? You know, anything like that. If you're in a state of quandary or indecision or you're second-guessing yourself, just take your right hand. And, of course, if you're a left-handed person, do it the other way. Yes,
okay.
That's very important. You know, the interesting thing about left-handers, George, is that, as I was saying before, the left-hand is the repository of intuition, instincts, subconsciousness. So, and the right hand deals with the conscious energies, the logic and reason, the analyzation, like that.
Now, do you hold that thumb, though, with your fingers, or do you kind of like hold it in the middle of your right palm? And squeeze.
Oh, you just grab it with your thumb and fingers of the other hand.
All right, just like you're grabbing it.
Yeah, you could do it with each. You could do it with the pinky side. Or you could do it with the thumb side. It doesn't matter. Just hold the thumb and just kind of think of your question and just
dwell on
it.
Huh.
Yeah, the thumbs are our free will. This is why animals don't have a thumb. Animals deal with their instincts. They have a soul, they have consciousness, they, you know, very small consciousness, not very wide, not very expansive, but they deal with, they live on instincts. They don't have a thumb. The thumb, George, is our human free will. It gives us our the ability to make decisions and to navigate the material world. It gives us the ability to brush our teeth and make cars and build rockets. The thumb is the engine of our human willpower and drive and determination. And it is the most interesting part of the hand, because if you look at your thumb, palm facing your eyes, you'll see that the thumb is it's actually kind of, if it had eyes in the middle of it, it would kind of like be like a general looking at its troops. And so whatever talents you have on your hands, it's actually symbols on our thumb that tell the palmist if they're actually making them happen, you see. But the thumb is that ability to jumpstart also one's drive and determination and their intuitive aspects. So if a person is like not trusting themselves, they feel a lack of power in their life, insecurity, or just going through a period of second guessing themselves, then take your right hand, if you're a right hander, and just hold the left thumb. Just kind of hold it. You don't have to hold it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and if you're a left hander, do the opposite, and you'll get your answer. But take your time.
What do you think of soulmates?
I absolutely believe in them. I have seen, and this is rare, but I have seen people who have been together for 7 lifetimes. I don't see any more than that. But it's kind of interesting, George. It's kind of like the waves of the sea. Sometimes there is a stick on the sea, and then a wave will bring 2 sticks together. And then maybe they'll float around for a while together, and then another wave will kind of remove those sticks. So the people that we love in our life, we knew them in our previous life. For instance, if we have a son or a daughter, how can we give that soul so much love and attention if we didn't know them before? Sometimes the man becomes the woman. Sometimes the woman becomes the man. We knew these people. We know we've been with these people for lifetimes. And then sometimes something happens, and then we meet a new person to love, you see. Many times, George, sometimes the dad becomes really good care of the son, and they knew each other before. Maybe one was the grandfather or some other family entity, you see. So we can't really love each other like just out of the blue. We knew the people that we know. And you know what's interesting, George? Sometimes we have a brother or sister that we don't get along with. Mm-hmm. I had a client once, she told me, I love my sister, but I don't like her. And this is because they had problems in the previous life. In other words, they may have done things to each other. They might have stolen some each other's money or been envious of each other. But nonetheless, we've known these people in our lives. And then sometimes a person's desires, people's desires change, and then they change their partner after many lifetimes. You know, the thing I see in people's hands, George, is that we are eternal. The soul in Sanskrit, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that the soul is Satchit Ananda, that we are eternal, we're blissful, in other words, we're joyful, and we're aware. But while we're in this material world, we forget our eternality. We forget that we're eternal. We forget that we're eternally joyful. We forget that we're aware, and because we identify with this material world. You know, interestingly enough, there's a lot of stuff going on in the social world about black and white and race and this. And the most basic aspect of the human life, the most fundamental and the most kindergarten aspect of human life is that we are not this body. We are not this body. If we're eternal, George, we've had millions and billions of bodies. We are not this body. So why judge someone according to the color of the pigment of their skin? This is not very elevated. The more elevated people become in consciousness, the more that they are colorblind. Couldn't care less about the body.
Can you look at a baby's palm and determine what kind of future they're going to have?
If they keep their hands open long enough. I usually have to get the mom to, like, you know,
pry it loose.
Yeah, exactly. Hold this, and But after about, if I can make friends with the kid, you know, maybe after like a year and a half, it gets easier. Of course, I've got to use, you know, my biggest magnifying glass. But what I do is I just take prints. I put lipstick on their hands, put it on a piece of paper, and just kind of look at it. But absolutely, yes, George, you can see if a little girl's going to become an architect. You can see if a little boy's going to be a baseball player. You can see everything like that.
Or maybe nowadays the girl will become the baseball player and he'll be the architect. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. And, you know, that's one of the most interesting things about looking at hands, just seeing how the culture has changed and things have changed. It's made our jobs a little bit more difficult, that's for sure.
When we take questions with you next hour, if people want readings, how do you want to handle that?
All they have to do is ask me a particular question, and I'm going to ask them to look at a particular area of their hand, and I'll
okay.
tell them their answer.
Okay, very good. And if they just have
one more thing, I want to talk, if possible, about psychic energy.
We've got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, so I told the last activity. I said, if you want to make a decision, you're making a plan, you're not really sure. It really helps to jumpstart your instincts. But I want to talk to you, to your audience and you, about something that will actually jumpstart our intuitive purposes, in other words, our psychic ability. And again, if you want a psychic hit, take your left hand. And of course, if you're a left, you could do this if you're a left-handed or a right-handed person. It doesn't matter. But if you actually want an intuition, or actually bring out your psychic energy, then hold your hands together as if in prayer. You can clasp them together. You can put them together. It doesn't matter. Just sit down peacefully. You don't have to clear your mind either. Just sit down peacefully and hold your hands together as in prayer, or just hold them together. What you're doing is you're bringing both your left brain and your right brain together in a symmetry. They're communing with each other. You're bringing your left and your right brain, your intuitive brain and your conscious brain together. So just sit down, relax, put your hands together, and if you do this maybe for 2-3 minutes a day, your psychic energy, your intuitive energy will start to really come out. And listen to it. Just trust it. That's the most important thing. This is the aspect, George, of like prayer. What is so amazing about the prayer? Because what you're doing is you're bringing your hands together and you're saying, give me a sign, give me an idea, give me an insight here. So in a sense, it's the hands together in a prayer-like mode, you're asking for guidance.
Absolutely.
And it couldn't be more powerful, because you're bringing both of your brains together, and both of these brains are hooked up in a balance wheel of the harmony of the soul, both our intuition and our logic.
When you go out, Vernon, do you kind of nonchalantly glance at people's palms?
Oh my God. That's all I do. It's a nonstop thing. In fact, I'll tell you something. You can even tell if a person is happy in life or they're going through difficult stuff just by looking at their thumbs. I'll give you an example.
Hold on for that. Give us the example when we come back. Plus, we'll take calls next on Coast to Coast AM.